God shit a billy goat. Listen up and listen good. You fucking hear me? A moment frozen in time, more iconic than 92 SummerSlam when Bret the Hitman Hart got pinned by Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog. 3 years and three kids later, and Tammy's finally getting the blow box removed from her car, so I took her on a romantic rendezvous down to the Blueberry Bluegrass Festival. She's a classy lady, the type of woman you'd eat the corn out of her shit just to say you had dinner with her. Well, we ordered up a family platter of nose nachos from some dude driving a 72 Ford Ranchero with a set of dice hanging out of the rearview mirror, a car seat on the passenger seat blasting ZZ Top's LaGrange on repeat. And that's why you don't get gear from a guy like that. The next morning, we could have sold the goddamn bread growing out of our nose at the fucking farmer's market. Christ almighty.
Can you hear the music?
10-4, you betcha, man.
Oh, Christ, you can. Not a lot of people can hear it, man.
Hear it pretty faintly, but I got her.
Faintly's better than nothing. There's a court from the second act said that he was going to hold a little draft to me.
Yeah.
How many people could actually hear it versus couldn't? And I say half ten, half ten.
Yeah.
Kick you on a kick puppy. There we go. We're going to go like, can you see me?
There we go. I got you now. You froze up a little bit there, but I got you now.
All right. All right. Good stuff. Yeah, man. Fucking, yeah. Shout out to Sension Boychuk, man. You'll find him everywhere on the socials. This week on the podcast, I'm pretty pumped to be talking to the one and only Long Rod.
Yes, Lord sir. Rod. How you doing, brother?
Good, brother. How are you?
Well, hanging in there, man. Just out on holidays here at my father-in-law's place on the Shuswap. Hurting myself water skiing. I'm not as spry as I once was, eh? You know, but trying to keep up. It's the way she goes.
Way she goes there, bud. Hey, sometimes she goes and sometimes she doesn't, but either way,
That's it. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Sir.
I see you got a little bit of a lip dinner going on there.
Always. 24/7.
Back in a dip.
The old daughter of mine's there. She reminds me every day of how gross it is. So you betcha.
How old's your daughter?
She's going to be 2 in December. Then I got a son that's going to be 8 in February.
Your 2-year-old reminds you how gross it is. Man,
oh, buddy. It's yuck. And yeah. I just, yeah, okay, sounds good. Harping on me nonstop. Almost as bad as my wife, but.
I got a 5-year-old, dude. And like, yeah, they are savage. They're savage little bastards, aren't they? Yeah.
Just constantly nonstop, just staring at you. Just staring. Just the wheels are turning nonstop. Like my father-in-law, he built a gate to keep her in here, like a wild animal. And she's already figured out how to, she's already figured the latch out. It's got a child lock on it. Took my dad about 20 minutes to get through, and she figured it out in about 2 minutes. So, yeah, kids are pretty observant, YouTube. That's for sure.
It's the YouTube, man. My daughter, my 5-year-old, man, she knows shit about people and things and celebrities that I have no idea. She's come up to me one day. She's like, you know Ronaldo's son? I'm like, no, who's Ronaldo? She's like, the soccer player. I'm like, okay. She's like, yeah, Ronaldo Jr. And she named off his wife. And I'm like, okay, there's no way this is true. I Googled it, man. She knows everything about Ronaldo that I don't know how. She doesn't even watch soccer. She don't even know what soccer is.
It's nuts. Yeah. The internet these days, you can find just about anything. That chat GPT up at work. I remember, you know, I'm actually a class A gas fitter and plumber by trade. And back in the day when I was doing service plumbing in Edmonton there, you actually had to use your brain to figure out problems. You go into a boiler room up in an apartment building or something, she's clanking and banging. You actually got to sit down and figure out what's going on. Well, now you just talk into the computer and it spits out how to step by step how to fix stuff. Whoa.
ChatGPT is wild, man. I have these plants growing in my front yard. All I did, I didn't know what they were. I wanted to know what they were so I could plant other things. And you know what? I took a picture of ChatGPT, and like 3 seconds later, ChatGPT is like, it's this. It's an invasive thing. You can pull it out all you want, but it's been there for a long time, it looks like, and it's not, it's just going to keep growing back. You're fucked, pretty much. Man, ChatGPT is wild, man, and a lot of companies are having a problem with it. A lot of companies are having issues with
it. You think of it, look at it too, though. You think of all the guys like doctors and all these high, I was told there in the last few days that trades are low barrier jobs, which makes sense in a certain aspect. You know, anybody can get into a trade, but you look at now with ChatGPT, with all these, you know, lawyers, doctors, all this stuff, it's going to make the world an interesting place because a lot of these people are using that to get through. So you don't know. It's going to be tough to actually trust some of these people in the future because you don't know what the hell they're doing.
I don't went through the whole school. Don't trust a doctor. I had a doctor Google my symptoms like fucking like 8 years ago. He Googled my symptoms and he's like, "Oh, I don't know what that is." And he prescribed me something that made it worse. I had to go to going to the ER, and the ER doctor's like, "Nah, man, you should have had that. That made it way worse."
Oh, 100%. Well, it's almost as bad as sitting in your room there. You know, I've had a pretty wild life sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You get a little chest pain there. You've been up for a little while, and all of a sudden you WebMD something and you figure you're having a heart attack. The ambulance is on the way. That you've got the whole family up and you're off to the hospital, but. Yeah, no, the internet's come a far ways, man. And I'm just excited that I've got a chance to use, you know, guys like yourself that have a pretty decent platform and we can chat. And the biggest thing that I like about what I'm trying to do, I like I said, I started with Snapchat about 3 years ago. People have been hounding me just off the top of my head, stupid shit. And I had about 3,500 followers on Snapchat at one time. So I decided to head on over to TikTok, and it's kind of, it's taken off pretty good, man. Like the first video I posted, I had no idea. There's two, when I'm posting it, I like I said, I'm an amateur with this, and I got repeats on the first video, but it's had, I don't know, almost 250,000 views already.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. So it made me really think. And then the people that have been reaching out and like the messages and stuff, it kind of made me realize, you know, regardless of age, I just want to make people laugh. There's not enough happiness in this world. It sounds kind of gay, but you know what? There's not enough happiness, not enough laughter. And it's a good to make people smile and laugh.
You said it sounds kind of gay, but you can't get happiness without penis.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, you betcha. I wish my wife was in earshot to hear that one.
Hold on, man. I'm gonna switch the Wi-Fi over here, see if it works better on my phone. Hold on.
Yeah, we're getting a little glitchy. Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay, sounds good.
You there?
There we go. I can hear you. I can see you. We're rocking and rolling again, man.
You can hear me. I switched it over to a hotspot, my phone. The last few episodes, I've been in really shitty service. Like, I was in Unity, Saskatchewan. I was in Hythe, Alberta. I had, you know, terrible service, and it just didn't work out so well. I had to actually cut the feed to my video. So, you know, the bandwidth would go down, right? And we wouldn't be having these issues. And right now I'm in Medicine Hat, Alberta, man. You know, I've got cell service for the first time in weeks.
Yeah.
And, in a week or two. So, yeah, it's coming back pretty good there, man. You know, I'm pretty excited. But next week I'm heading up to Beauval, Saskatchewan. So, out near Île aux Cross, man, north of Meadow Lake, we're not going to have any cell service.
No, you're stuck. Yep. You're stuck in the boonies. So no, that's good that we're getting a chance to chat here for sure. You're just vac trucking, or what are you doing?
No, I haven't worked on a vac truck in over a year now. Year and a half now. I was there for 7 years, and I do that in the winter, and then in the summer I go and I work on I do road construction. I go work on a construction crew, and you know, I've been doing that for 10 years. You know, it happened in 2015 when the barrel crashed. You know, I needed to keep busy. So, you know, my wife had to literally pull me to the job fair for this job. Yeah. And I went, and they're like, "Well, we got the perfect division for you." So they sent me here, man. And I've been here ever since. They're going to have to, you know, put me in a bag or a box is the only way I'm leaving.
Absolutely.
But no, yeah, I love it. That's good. I make more money here in 4 months than I make in the patch the rest of the year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, honestly, man, like being in the patch, I've got a pretty decent job. I'm work for a trailer company up there. But you know, the wages and stuff, they're kind of flatlined right now for guys working in the oil field and the tar sands and shit. Like, I know where I'm working, they pay actual employees of that company pretty good, but contractors, it's not the greatest. So it's hard to get good guys. You're getting guys up there that are just munyuk morons that have no clue what they're doing, eh?
Well, it's also Fort Mac, buddy. You know what I mean? Outside of Fort Mac, you know, you get more cowboy, right? You get like Fox Creek and Grand Prairie. So like, Fort Mac is, you got to live by the book, right? You live by the book, die by the book, right?
100%.
And, you know, I found, you know, coming from Fox Creek, you know, where I worked like 40-hour straight shifts and stupid, like, I'll be on nights for a day and a half or a day or 2 days and then go to day shift for a couple days and then bounce around like that. I'll fucking live and die by that rule book for a shot at them 12-hour shift. Just give me a 12, fly me back and forth, 12-hour gig. That's it, man. You know, I don't mind living life by the book that way. You know, I know where I am every night at 7 p.m. I know exactly where I'm at. I can plan an evening around that, right?
Absolutely,
and,
man.
You know, so, yeah, man. Fox Creek was good for, you know, what my family and I needed at the time, mm-hmm. right? And then I outgrew that. And my socials outgrew that. My job was in the way of my content creation.
After yeah, absolutely, moment, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And you'll start making money on it and whatnot. And then it starts interfering with making that kind of money. And then, for you know, sure. Yeah, man. And then, you know, the podcast, right? The podcast came around and, you know, the foundation of this podcast was built on a stupid schedule. And I'm proud of where I brought
you
this.
You should
thing.
Be, man. Absolutely.
I'm proud, man. And, you know, speaking of Bo Val not having cell service and all these cell issues we've had over the years, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I finally have a guy who listened to it reached out to me and was like, hey man, you need a Starlink? And I'm like, you need a Starlink. And he's like, sure. Man, I'm happy to help, brother. And he's getting the Starlink and he's paying the monthly fee for the Starlink. And those connection issues are soon to be, you know, I'll be able to record podcasts in Beauval, Saskatchewan.
Absolutely.
And Fort McMurray, Alberta.
It makes a huge difference.
In like, Heist.
Yeah, we used to, me and my family on my mom's side there, so I come from a split-up family. We used to go up to Rock Lake between Grand Cache and Hinton on Highway 40.
No cell service there.
None. So my little brother, he's a heavy-duty mechanic. He got Starlink, I think. I can't remember exactly, but he's got it up there now. And we're like 20, 30 clicks back in the bush, back up logging roads and stuff, and we camp on the Wild Hay River. And it's just flawless. It makes a huge difference with everything. Instead of having to drive 10 clicks to go up, park on a hill somewhere to call people and let them know that you're still alive, you can just sit in camp and enjoy your drinks and check in from there. So,
yeah, man. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's going to be really good. My wife and my kids and I were going on a road trip to Spokane here in 2 weeks.
Mm.
And I'll have the Starlink around then. My kids will be able to watch movies and enjoy their tablets with that Starlink sits in the window on the way there. You know
100%,
what I mean? That's fucking crazy, dude. That's crazy. They don't have to piggyback off my hotspot or anything like that. You know, man, they're, you know what? I couldn't be more grateful. Shout out to Tracy Chabot, you know, Chabot. He's a consultant in the oil patch and he's been a big listener of the podcast and
nice.
He likes
nice.
What we're doing here. Right. Hold on. He said it right here. He said what his company, Chabot Resource Management. You know, shout out to Shadow Resource Management for hooking the podcast up with a Starlink, man. That's crazy. Crazy. I never
game changer, brother.
5 years ago, man, when I started making content, I didn't think we'd be here, right? And I didn't think we'd have a podcast, let alone, you know, having a good podcast. So,
yeah,
you know,
no, for sure. And having people, you got to keep people interested and keep people entertained for most part. And I find with the laughter and the comedy and stuff like that, and people, you get lots of hate too. I was chatting with you about that. You know, people send you stupid messages. They just, and jealousy is a stinky cologne, man. And some people, they just reek. Nope. Like they just can't stand seeing other people happy. You've got guys making burner accounts. Like you've seen it all for sure, man. Just to try and drag you down into their hell. And it's just not worth it. So,
well, I think it's funny. If you're going to make a burner account, if I get under your skin that much where you got to make a burner account and come at me, I'm winning.
Absolutely.
I'm living rent-free in your head.
100%. And some of these people, they just can't stand to see someone else even slightly succeed, man. And I, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to become a millionaire off this, but I want to try and expand, you know, doing some comedy stuff. I've been actually offered a comedy tour in the fall and in the wintertime. But like I said, with the family and stuff, we got to make things work. But I do want to see where this goes because the opportunities I'm finding, just off the little amount that I've just been on TikTok, it's outstanding. Like it's actually crazy. The people that reach out and this is who I am too. Right. Like I'm in a through and through Albertan. I moved out to the coast about 5 years ago, but I'm born and raised on a farm and it's hard to take that out of you. So I love where I live. I love my family. I'm very, very grateful to be out on the coast, man. I can stare at the ocean every morning when I'm at home. I do a 14-on, 14-off rotation. So it works out just perfect.
Fuck yeah, man. That's deadly, man. The content life, the internet has changed my life. It's changed my family's life, right? Like I've replaced my wife's income completely and then some on online, right? And
definitely.
You know, you know, walking around, you know, people recognizing me, people wanting to help out, people wanting to be a part of it. Right. And, you know, the support, you know, like people be like, hey man, I relate to that. You know, those are all feelings we've had on site, but they're, you know, like you said, the people that do talk a little shit, they take it seriously. Right. They're like, you know, like that video I made last week where it was like, here for the income, not the outcome. People are like, that's why you're never going to be a foreman. That's why you're a laborer for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Why you're a fool life, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. You know, like laugh, either laugh or fuck off, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. I love when
people fucking scrolling or, you know, if you feel the need to leave a comment, that, like you said, that means that we're winning. That's the point. Yep. And if you're going to sit there and get that upset about something that's just absolutely mindless comedy, then I think you'd better go and head out to a therapist and go on psycho leave from work and get your shit figured out. Because if that bothers you that much, could you imagine if they opened the fridge and the milk was expired? Like, holy shit, man. If I'm the wife of that guy, buddy, you better run, because holy shit. Like, some of these people are just wing nuts. It's wild.
I make good money off them, though, on Facebook. Like, being monetized on Facebook, man, I could... You know, I put that video on Facebook knowing that those comments were going to happen. I think I made like $200 or $300 off of it in a day and a half or whatever. And I was like, yeah, man,
there
that was 10 seconds of my time. You know what I mean? Like, boom, you know,
and my groceries for the week there, buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
That's what Gord from the Second Act podcast, he said, that's what he said to me. He said to me, Gord has been on this podcast a few times. I've been on his, you know, him and his son, they ran it. They unfortunately decided to end their podcasting journey a couple weeks back here. And, you know, great podcast, great people. We still talk. He messaged me and he's like, man, when I saw that video, and this is his own words, he's like, when I saw that video, I figured Dick's putting food on his table with that video.
Right? 100%.
And, yeah, man. Like that meant a lot, you know, like that's huge, right? Just something I saw on the internet. I was like, you know what? All right, fuck it. I'm going to do this. It's funny. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like,
this
is a laugh, you know,
we're out here
grinding. We're away from our families. We're missing everything, man. Let's just have a little laugh, right?
Let's
have a laugh.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, man.
And so, no, guys, like, it's a little bit of a transition to get used to that. And like, I've been dealing with that kind of my whole life. I grew up just outside Edmonton playing hockey. We can get into the hockey stuff a little bit later there with my boy Brett. But I grew up playing hockey and in a small town, hockey serious in Alberta. And I'm not trying to pump my own tires, but I was a really good hockey player growing up. And I learned from an early age that jealousy, it comes in all forms, all shapes and sizes. And yes, being a young kid and even getting hate from parents on hockey teams, you know, everybody just trying to drag you down. And I've realized over the years too, like with my son and stuff, it's a cutthroat business, that hockey, minor hockey nowadays. It's just gotten to the point where if you don't have money or you're not a superstar, there's no point in even playing. And you're going to have to be taking out a second mortgage just to afford to play hockey nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the world we're living in too. You see it, everybody sees it. Everything has just gotten so expensive and out of control. It's tough, but like you said, we're grinding, keeping it up. And this is why, you know, make a little bit of extra money here, making people laugh. And sometimes, to me, it's not even about the money. I just want to see some of the messages you get from people that are like, man, your shit makes my day. You're the reason why I'm on TikTok. Oh, my God, this guy's great. Like, stuff like that is what keeps a guy's heart pumping and keeps you going.
Hell so yeah.
Like, I'm starting. I've got a buddy of mine that runs a wrap company. He does vehicle wraps out of Spruce Grove. I'm just going to grab. Do you mind if I say the name of his wrap company there?
Oh, man, shout out the wrap company. Let's give her.
So he's his name's Scrat, and he used to work with a buddy of mine in Stoney. And let's see, Impact Sign Guys in Spruce Grove in Alberta.
Impact Sign Guys,
Spruce Grove. Yeah, his name's Scrat, does unbelievable, phenomenal work. He's actually done. He actually wrapped Uncle Hack's truck. Yeah, he's a beauty too, man. I chatted with him a little bit way back when I started posting the videos.
Hack's been on the podcast, man. He was on in the early days. He was on the 10 episodes Hack was on,
he's definitely a guy that I kind of, you know, you look up to a little bit because you see what he's built. Same with yourself. See what you guys have built. Hard work and just plowing through and not giving a shit what other people say is how you do it in this business, I find. And like I said, I'm just starting off. And you're helping me out. I love it. And you know, Impact Sign Guys, He's going to be making up some shirts and stuff for me to get, see what the interest is. I've already got tons of interest from people on the clothing, because coming out with three different shirt designs, we're going to see how that goes. I've got some stickers that we'll send with the shirts and whatnot. And yeah, it's just, and see how it goes. And I want to try and diversify too, get onto Facebook, maybe get onto Instagram. It's just, you know, the type of content that I'm throwing out there, you got to kind of, it's a fine line. And like you were talking about work too, you got to make sure when you're on site, you're making these videos on site, you'll notice that I have none of my company logos. You have none of the oil field, the oil company's logos and anything. You don't want to get into hot water like that, eh? So,
oh yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
There's tons of different avenues a guy can go into with this. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Tons. Yeah. I don't know if you know who Jeremy Littell is, but Jeremy Littell, he was on episode 50. He makes little Johnny jokes. He's got like 20 million followers across the internet.
Yep.
He was on episode 50. That guy started off on here just to try and get jerky sales to his company. His company was struggling. And he wanted, it was the pandemic, his company was struggling. He wanted to get more sales in. Yep. And now that guy, he has like fucking jerky everywhere. He filmed a movie. He floated a movie. You know what I mean, dude? Like, it's insane. It's insane, man. Yep. And, you know, we're talking, you know, lots of guys have been on this podcast, like Brian Andrews. That guy started off as, you know, just a rig welder, you know, just rig welder. And now he's going out on tour with his music. He hasn't worked. He hasn't worked in fucking a couple years now because of his music. Ben Allen Curry, he's getting the same way. Man, these are all guys I've had on the Uncle Hack. I've said it 100 times. Hack was my inspiration, right? Because you know, working in the past, you know, pro tips from a dipshit and stuff like that.
Definitely,
you know, you see that guy start on YouTube, right? And his merch everywhere. And I'm like, fuck yeah, man, I love that guy. You know?
Yeah, definitely. And then,
yeah, man. And then, you know, just the fact that I talk to him, we text, we send text messages and we talk, and he's been on my pod. Dude, Hack is incredible. No matter what anyone says, no matter how much controversy shrouds him, you know, dude, the Hack and Brendan, two different fucking people, you know. Absolutely. Brendan, the human being, is an incredible person. And Hack, the guy, Hack, the brand. Man, guy's just trying to get some light shone on things, right? And like, just an incredible guy.
And I agree with a lot of the videos that he's putting out, a lot of the content that he does. What we're doing is saying what people are thinking. That's what I and me too. I'm a pretty vocal and controversial, opinionated person at all times. Like, I have a very strong opinion on a lot of stuff. I keep my mouth shut around certain people. Politics, you just stay out of that, because that's just a conversation killer. And nowadays, you're going to be fist fighting the guy if you have any different type of view on politics, man. Holy shit, it turns into a gong show.
Yeah,
but,
man.
I want to. I want to be like Uncle Hack's doing. Like, I'm a totally different person as opposed to my videos online. You know, I got a heart of gold, give you the shirt off my back to help out. And that's why I do run a little plumbing company out on the coast on my days off. We've been plumbing for 20 years almost now. My dad's a class A gas fitter, been helping him out when we lived on the farm and whatnot. I'm all about trying to help people out. Nowadays, tradespeople, a lot of them are going in there, you know, standard 40-gallon natural draft hot water tank. They're trying to charge people like, you know, $2,000, $2,500, $3,500. And the tank is $900. It takes you 2 hours. So where you get, you know, they're just raking people over the coals. And I get it's tough times, but using your profession to gain money like that, it's robbery in a sense, right? So what I'm trying to get at is that I'm kind of a man of the people. If you think about it, you know, I want to help people out. I'm not here to you know, pump up guys that are already making millions and doing things like that. I want to help out the little guy that's sitting there struggling, because there's a lot of people that are struggling right now. And with what we're doing to get a laugh out of people, I think that helps. And it goes a long way. And I've, you know, everybody's been in tough spots. I've been in a pretty dark place in my life before. And I turned it around and got myself clean and stuff. Like, I actually, my little cousin, Brett Kulak, he's plays for the Oilers. He got drafted in 2012. To the Calgary Flames. We had a party out at his, out at their farm. So when I grew up, we had 80 acres. His dad had 80 acres right next door. So 160 split between the two farms. So I was over there nonstop. Like, we played a lot of hockey together growing up. You know, he's quite a bit younger than I am. Yeah, we did a lot, but he got drafted in 2012 to the Flames. We had a big party out at the farm, and I ended up, you know, I was completely out of her, inebriated. We had a good time, man. It was wild. So about 12 o'clock at night, I used to have a bunch of trikes, three-wheelers. I was just a trike connoisseur. Hopped on the three-wheeler and headed into the yard. There's about, I'd say, 200 people there, 250 people. Well, here I am figuring I'm going to be, you know, big dick energy flying in here and pop a wheelie. Well, I hit a fucking pothole, man, that the foot peg ripped into my leg there so bad. I just skin flap and bone. I finally come to. I knocked my head pretty good, and I come to, and there's a guy yelling, "I see the bone," and all of a sudden people are fainting, and it's, oh, it was just pandemonium. Wild. Absolutely wild. But anyways, just to the story is that found myself, my family doctor I've had since I was young, and got me on opiates. So this is a story of a lot of people that get fired up on these things. I ended up getting hooked on those after this accident because I got a skin graft on my leg. I ended up getting a couple of surgeries on it and everything. And yeah, for the next few years, just in a really dark spot, because you go back to the doctor and all of a sudden he tells you, no, you're fine, man. You don't need any more. Well, that's not the case. If anybody that's listening or anybody that's gone through it knows anything about that type of addiction, it's not just a cut and dry, you're good to go thing. It's yep. And that's why society is the way it is nowadays. You look at any small town, Alberta, BC, Saskatchewan, any small town. I grew up in a very small farming community, and there's tent cities there. There's people, there's opiate addicts there. There's homeless people everywhere, and it's just that easy to get hooked on those things.
We're all one event away from being that.
That's
person.
It. And it, it gripped me pretty good, man. And I ended up going and I finally had enough. And I went and got some help, and I got myself figured out. And I realized that only 5% of opiate addicts make it out. And the last time I ever did, took any opiates was June 2nd of 2016. So we're going on quite a few years now. And I'm a pretty heavy advocate for helping people. I know there's a lot of people with strong opinions on that subject and everything, and just, you know, they just need to quit. They just need to that. There needs to be a lot more work done federally, provincially. There needs to be a lot more done to help these people, because it's already spiraling out of control, and it's just going to get worse. And I think that the way they're doing things with giving out free drugs and helping these people, it's not working. And I've got a big heart. I feel for the people that go through it. And I'm just glad that I came out. I've got a good solid family, a good foundation built. The wheels are turning, everything's going, it's going as planned, man. But I'm, like I said, big advocate for people that are struggling. And if there's anybody listening that is struggling, man, just know, if I can do it, trust me, buddy, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You just got to put your mind to it, get the help that there is avenues, there is help that you can get, and you can make it out. And I know that there is people out there that might possibly be watching this that are in the same boat, that figure they're hopeless and there's nothing that can happen. But you just got to put your mind to it and put your nose to the grindstone and give her, man. And you can come out. And I know with any type of addiction, people are scared, alcoholism, anything like that. People are scared that they're not going to be able to have a good time or live without substance. And that's the total opposite. You get over that boat, you get over that hump, man, and you can have a beautiful life, and you can have everything you want. And you put your mind to it,
man. I broke my ankle six, seven months ago. Right. And I was,
that was gnarly. That looked gnarly.
Yeah. And man, I was on fentanyl, right? I was on the fentanyl, right? It wasn't much, but I understand. I understand the addiction to it. I get it, man. I have an addictive personality.
Yes,
I know that, like, you know, if I had to take that for any period of time, you know, that could have been a real issue. You know, I wasn't in any pain, you know, because it was minus 30 out when it happened. Boom, right? Already too cold. Then when I was thawing out, I was already on the fentanyl, right?
Yeah, the guy's already, like, pumped up. Yeah.
Yeah. And man, I was like, whoa, what is this? This is great, you know? And
that's the thing. That's the thing about it is that, you know, it starts with, you know, small doses of Percocets, this, that, and then all of a sudden your body just gets immunity to it and gets used to the dosage. And the thing about opiates, when you're on those things, it is like, that's why they call them Workocets instead of Percocets, because you just get so focused, you're completely numb to anything. But all you want to do is just do stuff and give her and work and work. And that's why people get hooked on them Percocets and stuff like that, is because it really masks the person you are, and you can actually do a lot more than you think you're capable of. So yeah, no, I'm glad to see that you're doing better with that. Cause I seen the picture of your ankle, man, and holy man, that looked,
I didn't take any pain management for that at all during the time off. After the first day and whenever, how long it took that fentanyl to wear off, I went pain management free, right? I was just like, you know, whatever, man. This is how my great-great-granddaddy probably stormed the beaches of Normandy and didn't have any fentanyl or anything or any pain management. So fuck it. You know, like, this is my Normandy, okay?
Yeah.
And I got two rules about Percocets. Number one, don't touch my fucking Percocets. And number two, do you have any fucking Percocets?
Fucking right, old goon. Love it. Love it.
Yeah,
no, it's crazy, man. And I also love the stereotypes of, like, you know, I get stereotyped quite a bit. Oh, you're just dumb, big Albertan fucking oilman, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I am. But you know what? A lot of people like that are built different. They're cut from a different cloth because the jobs up there, it's not for everybody. And there's a lot of people that, oh, look at the big dummies. And even online, you read on Facebook about everybody's got an opinion about Alberta and like blah, blah, blah. And sure, there's a lot of doughheads that come out of Alberta. I see it. I've seen it here. Well, I'm at the shoe swap water skiing. You see some of these people that are boating around here, and you can pick them out. Like, it's pretty easy. Yeah. But at the same time, let's just tone her down on the stereotypes here. They're good. There's a lot of good people. 100%. There's a lot of good people that come out of Alberta. I just look at, like, my grandparents. I just lost my grandmother, actually, on game 6 of the cup final when the Oilers absolutely shit the bed and lost.
Well, there's a reason why they lost. Grandma wasn't, you know.
Yeah, she went down, and I just look at her and, like, inspiration from even your grandparents, probably the same way. My papa's still going. He just left the farm, 94 years old. He was there his whole life working. And now you got these kids that are so entitled that don't know what the hell they want to do. 18 years old, sitting in mom's basement, figuring they're going to make it being video gamers. Which, sure, there's an opportunity in that.
But there is,
You see some of these kids in 20 years, their goddamn heads are going to look like Teletubbies, deformed from wearing the headset all day long. My nephew comes upstairs sometimes, and he's got a mark on his head from his headset, and I just, holy shit, man, like, how long have you been sitting down there?
Well, sorry to hear about your grandma, man. My nana passed in beginning of May, I believe it was. I was going to my sister's wedding May 17th. It was actually in April she passed. So, because I left May 6th, then she passed a couple weeks. I was excited. I hadn't seen her since 2020. And, you know, I was working 4 hours away from, she lived in Manitoba at the time. I was working 4 hours away from the Manitoba border. We had a day off. I ripped in to go meet her. I bought her lunch and we had some ice cream. She took me on a tour of her place. And then, she had a couple strokes. And, you know, my dad was adopted. She didn't know who I was, right? So, like, I wasn't a part of her long-term memory. I was part of short-term. We met her like 10, 11 years ago, something like that. And so, you know, when she went and had her strokes and she had dementia and she didn't know who I was, right?
Yeah,
so, you know, everyone else around her, she was cool with. But one day I was sitting at work, the phone rings, it's her. I pick it up for an hour. That woman remembered who I was. And then I had to go back to work. And I never heard from her again. That was probably like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was excited. I was like, yeah, we're driving to Ontario from Alberta and we're going to go to my sister's wedding and we're going to stop in Windsor and we're going to say hi. Right. I hadn't seen her.
Yeah.
And I was pumped. And then my cousin sent me a text like, hey, she's not doing so hot. You know, like we think this is it. And it's like, fuck, are you kidding me? I'm like 2 weeks away, you know, like, come on. Right. Yeah, and then, and then she got better. She got a little better. And but we knew, right? We knew, like, hey, you know, that's the calm before the storm, right? You know, you get a little better just before the end. And I got the text. I knew it was coming. You know, like, oh, she's gone. She's gone, right? And I'm like, that's, you know, and that's hard. That's hard for me. You know, I was really excited to go see her. But you know, it didn't happen. We still went on our road trip and shit. And you know, that woman, she survived cancer in the 80s. She survived a car accident that was supposed to kill her. In the end, she got taken out by a fucking bladder infection, man.
Yeah, that's wild, man. But I hear you on the dementia thing. My grandma got it too, and it all of a sudden, she remembered me. Remembered, but like I said, I live on the coast, so I didn't get much time to see her at the end. But I did spend a lot of time with her as a kid, and towards the end, dementia is an absolute motherfucker. Like, it just ruined her to the point where you can tell when they're about to go. She started telling stories about her parents. Oh, I got to get home and see my parents. I got to go home. Yeah, no, my dad's coming to pick me up. And, like, obviously, her parents have been gone for, you know, 50 years, 40 years, her parents have been passed away. So you knew it was coming. It's just tough to see when a lady is so determined. Like, she used to milk cows, carrying 5-gallon pails of water on the farm. Like, they had 100 pigs. They had, you know, milk cows. They had chickens. They had everything. And you look nowadays at some of the people that are so entitled to think that they deserve this and they deserve that. That poor old lady would drive literally in Stony Plain. They've got a couple different grocery stores. That lady, God bless her heart, she would drive across town to save 80 cents on a can of tomato soup. Like, it's wild. And then you see, like, it just boggles my mind. And the way that we are with the work that we're doing, the blue collar work, I'm noticing, and I'm still quite young, I'm noticing that it is declining. We are losing a lot of people. Skilled trades are in high demand, and it's just,
we talked about that on the podcast.
Yeah. And I just I don't see it. I just don't know what's going to happen. And, like, I don't want to get too heavy into the immigration thing, but, like, you know, they're bringing in 2 million and we've only got 500,000 houses being built. We've already got kind of a housing crisis going on here in Canada.
There's a thing, the housing, their housing market is actually crashing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on a 30 year low right now. Toronto and Vancouver, you're starting to see condos crashing. The prices are like a fraction of what they were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And the housing market it's coming. If you look around Canada and you're like, oh, it's not happening in Saskatoon, it's not happening in Edmonton. Yeah. Oh, Calgary's still good. Well, no, look at what's happening in Vancouver and Toronto. It's fucking coming, right? It's
absolutely
coming. The fucking crash is happening, man.
And yeah, and even a couple months ago, like, people always say, oh, move to Alberta. It's cheap. A couple months ago, it wasn't cheap. Like, the houses were, and now all of a sudden they're coming down. And I bought, in the town I live in, I bought a townhouse condo. So it's in a row house, kind of 3-story with a garage, little backyard and whatnot. But I paid $600,000 or 6.25 for it. I'm thinking, like I said, grew up on the farm. For 6.25 or $600,000, I could have been living in Mayerthorpe on 80 acres with a farm. I probably could have bought 20 cows.
Down to fucking 80. Being slowed down to 80 kilometers an hour, going down 43. Fuck you.
Yeah,
guys.
For sure. Yeah. No, I could have been out there. I could have had a full farm set up. I could have had everything rocking and rolling. But you know what? I wouldn't give up where I live for the world, man. I would never. Like, if you go to Stony Plain and ask if they know any of the Kulaks or me, you'll find every single person, oh yeah. And I never ever thought in a million years that I would move from Stony anywhere. But I messaged my wife now, and I had went through a breakup with my ex and whatnot, was not doing too good. And I said, how do you move? And she just said, well, just pack a bag and move. And I just had, you know what, COVID, I got laid off from work for a couple months. And I said, you know what, let's rock and roll. Let's see how this goes. Drove out to the coast, never even knew the town existed because I'm such a closed-minded dirt farmer from Alberta. And yeah, ended up out on the coast, and I ended up there for 19 days. I stayed there and yeah, just kept coming back. I ended up going back to work, and next thing you know, I'm passing in my BC or my Alberta driver's license for a BC one. And yeah, no, it is what it is. And I never knew I would move, but you know what? This is the risks that we take. And we're talking about that here with risks. Social media is a risk. You take that risk and it could pay off. It could pay off huge. And I'm really excited for a lot of the new opportunities that are going to come from this, man. Like, I just feel it cooking. And
dude, your content is fire. It's going to go somewhere, man. If you want any like sponsorships or anybody to work with you, get on Instagram. Nobody wants to, nobody, TikTok is too up in the air and too unpredictable. Get on Instagram, get on Facebook. They'll see you on TikTok and then they'll go looking for you other places, and that's where they'll reach out.
For sure. Yeah. So I think I'm going to get that. I'm going to start setting that up here in the next week or two and get that going. Cause I know on TikTok, I actually got a strike for commenting back, and I said, oh, sounds good, Big Chief. That's what I said. And like, and then you see some of the stuff, even my content that's on there. I'm just like, holy shit, man, you're going to, like, who in the fuck, what kind of green haired octopus is down in some basement giving me a strike for that? Like, I don't know, man. That's a whole other topic we can get on, hey? All the old bull.
Yeah, man.
Bull nose, the old bullring, green-haired fans there that are screaming and hollering social justice and everything. Holy Christ, I've never seen it.
I was in a live earlier on TikTok where they were talking about, like, well, those hockey players, those London Knights, you know, like, oh, they're all bad people, and you know, they did this and that. And then someone said something about, like, oh, I can't remember what company it was, but they're talking about alcoholics run that. And I'm like, I bet you're drinking a Tim Hortons right now, or have one, or drank one today, aren't you? And they're like, oh, I always have my Timmies. I'm like, you don't know nothing about Tim Horton, do you? Mm-hmm. You know, like, buddy killed someone in a fucking drinking and driving accident. You know what I mean?
100%.
I was not a good guy.
That's right? the problem. Like, all these people that are fighting for all these different causes have no idea what they're talking about, man. Like, if you look at some of these, people, and I don't want to get too far. You know what? The blood pressure does get spiked up a little bit here. But you look at some of these people that are flipping out about, you know, Palestine and Israel and all these things. If you go over to Palestine and start flipping out and start going for your cause there, you'll be thrown off a roof in about 3 seconds.
I'm going to send you a podcast or tell you to go look at a podcast here. Do you know who Theo Von is?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Go listen to Theo Von's podcast. He did the second last one. He did it with an American doctor who just spent time in Gaza.
Yeah, over there.
And he's like, the stories that you're hearing come from the IDF are bullshit. Because, you know, like, oh, IDF are stealing pallets of UN food. Mm-hmm. While the UN food is being guarded by IDF. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, we killed a bunch of Palestinians trying to get food because a militant was getting at it, right? And he's like, you know, the whole time I was over there, I never once saw a fucking militant. I never once saw someone from Hamas. I never once saw anybody fire any bullets. He's like, what I am seeing is a lot of top-down gunshot or bullet wounds from kids coming out of fucking refugee tents. Most bullets, you know, if they're shooting you head-on, it's through one side and out the other, back to front or front to back. These ones are top-down, right? Yeah. Like, they're being shot with drones, right? And I reached out to that doctor on Instagram after I heard that podcast.
Yeah.
He's coming to my podcast, bro.
Nice.
And I don't like talking politics like that kind of shit, and I don't like getting into that. But you know what? That guy, that is one episode that I really think I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, and this is the opportunities you're going to get. You reach out to people.
Yeah,
like, man. When I seen you reach out to me, man, it was just, I was, you know, it kind of starstruck you a little bit. You're like, you know what, man? Maybe my content is reaching some good people, and I was happy to see that you reached out, and I'm pumped to be here chatting with you, too, and you know, it's good that there's like-minded people that are willing to talk about these things, because that's a whole other thing. Look at Nova Scotia right now. You know, how would you feel if you went and bought a section of land and they told you you can't even go in the bush because you're scared of starting a fire? I get that there's a lot of inexperienced and irresponsible people that are doing this, but it's just crazy the amount of reach that these people are trying to use, like with the government. No, and $25,000 to $30,000 fines for stepping in the bush. Like, come on. I don't know if people, it's just so divided. There's some people that would jump off a high rise if Carney told them, you know, jump, give her. And it's just the fact that read a little bit, do a little research, and come to your own critical thinking is gone in these days, in this day and age, because everybody is too scared to voice their opinion in fear of getting ridiculed or canceled or shut down or whatever. And you know what? I'll tell you right now, I have liberal tendencies. Everybody should. If you don't have you don't have some of it, you're
I'm somewhere in the middle, man.
100%. And
Paul McDonald said it, the Democrat or Republican, I'm somewhere in the middle, and you don't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, man, because you know, my morals and my thoughts and stuff like that. You know, I pull a little from everything, you know, like,
absolutely.
You know, like, I'm a little bit on the socialist side. Why not? Mm-hmm. Free healthcare is great. You know, it's not 100%. Really free, but like, you know, free healthcare is great, you know, but at the same time, common sense, you know what I mean? Like,
It's gone. It's gone.
You know, yeah, it's wild, dude. It's wild. I'm very in the middle. You know, people look at me and they're like, look at my content. They see I'm Albertan. They see I'm Oilfield. They're like, conservative. And
boom,
I'm like,
immediately.
I do vote conservative, but I have voted liberal at one point. I voted Jack Layton. He was NDP, bro. You know?
Yep.
Like, you know, like my, it doesn't matter on the party. You know, I care about the person. If you have a good platform, if you seem like a good person, that's where my allegiance lies, right?
So, 100%. It's just really fishy how everything just went down in the last election there. I'm not, I say it right now, not the biggest Pierre Poilievre fan. I think he went about it the totally wrong way. He was up by 28 points, I think, at one point in the election. And all of a sudden just went to shit because he didn't discuss and tell people what he actually wanted, in my opinion. He was just more so hating on the liberals, and it was just constant rhetoric. It was the same thing over and over, and I think people just got tired of it. But I don't know. We're in for a wild ride, man. You guys like you and I were.
I got a question for you. Do you know what do you know what do you know what viscosity is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's viscosity in your words?
You know, look at molasses. How slow molasses moves. It's a viscous liquid, I guess you'd say. Like, it's how sluggish it can be. It's the thickness of something.
The thickness of your fluid, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm going with that is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. Mm-hmm. The Mudman deals in the viscosity of the fluid going down hole on the rigs, right? Like, deals in the thickness of your load. Long rod, I know what you mean.
Yes.
Is your load, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's crazy, man. Your sponsors and stuff that you've got there and what you've built with all this stuff. I don't know. It's just unreal. I'm happy for you. I'm pumped.
Oh, dude.
And my load's going to be real thick. You just wait here. Hey, you just wait here, Nick. It's going to be coming. And like people are telling me, I've had a few messages from some clown carnival bums that you're going to run out of content. I said, buddy, if you spent 1 second in my brain, you'd realize what's going on there, man. I got shit for days, buddy. I think of things, you know, in my job that I've got a lot of time to sit there and rattle off things and think, and my brain's a pretty wild place, man. So I take that as a challenge. You think I'm going to run out of things? Yeah, let's see, buddy.
For all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, man, the Mudman's your guy. You know, shout out to the Mudman, www.mudmanmarket.com. That guy, I tell you, man, at the beginning of this podcast, those first 10 episodes were a fucking wash. The audio was shit. He hooked me up with a mic and a headset last year, over a year now. He supplied me with the MacBook Pro. That's what we record on now. That's what we edit on. And that guy has hooked me up with other guests. That guy has, you know, told me he's got my back. You know, I love the Mudman. And the Mudman and I, we're bromies for sure.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, man, I love that guy. But fucking, dude, oh man, I know what you mean. You know, when you say, you know, like the shit that's coming out of it, man, the shit that's fucking coming from this, dude. It's just, I'm mind blown. Most days when I look back and I just go post a video and I don't care how it does anymore. I don't care about the views. Mm-hmm. I'm not even, it's going to see the right people. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mind blowing. Mind blowing? I'm not blowing anything. I'm mind blowing.
Blown. Yeah. Blowing. Yeah.
Well, I keep saying it. Blowing.
Yeah.
I'm mind blowing by everything has become, dude. You know what I mean? Like I'm mind blowing by it. It's fucking I'm pumped that, you know, someone like you would be like, Dick, bro, I've watched your shit forever, man. Mm-hmm. I'm honored to ask. And man, that just, you know, I was in a little small town, Valhalla. You know where Valhalla is?
I've heard of it. Is that south?
No, it's outside GP.
Is it? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, north of GP.
Okay.
So I was outside there, and I stopped in this little mom and pop shop to get a fucking coffee the other day.
Yeah.
And my buddy's sitting there waiting for the coffee was out. I was sitting there waiting. I just strike a conversation. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? See, he's wearing, you know, Baffins. And I'm like, fuck yeah, that's my kind of guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm like, how's it going, man? He's like, I'm good, bro. He's like, where are you from? And I'm like, I live in Edmonton. He's like, you look familiar, bro. And I'm like, I'm like, I get that a lot, man. And he's like, cool, cool. And then he looks at his phone, and then he looks back at me. He's like, you're from TikTok. And I'm like, yeah, hey, how's it going? Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I'm just, you know, and he's like, that's awesome, man. He's like, yeah, I'm a pipeliner. And we just got to shooting the shit for a couple minutes while the coffee got in, right? And like, yeah. I love that shit, man. You see it. I was in Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan last year, having dinner with the crew. Hudson Bay, mm-hmm. man, that's pretty fucking mm-hmm. far. And some guy walks in, looks over, he's like, Dick Frost in Hudson mm-hmm. Bay. What's up, man? I was like, I fucking love that. I love that. That's what it's all about.
You know?
Dude, I love that. And it's not about the ego of it or whatever people want to call it. It's the connection, right? It's like,
for sure,
I make videos that you go, fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
And you get a laugh out of it, and you see me, and you're just like, I like that guy. And I thought, you know, because I usually rock the handlebar mustache, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, like, when I grow the beard out, no one's going to recognize who I am, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just walking by, like, hey, there's the guy from TikTok. It's like, yeah, man, I got the fucking
beard. It's definitely a good feeling. I've had it at camp already. Like I said, I just ran over 4,600 followers on TikTok. Yeah. And I've got like 700,000 views on my videos now, which is, in my opinion, I think that's wild that people are watching that. To me, that, but I look at you, you got like millions and millions and millions of people watching your shit. And like, it just started small and you built up and you just work at it and chip away. And actually now look at you, you're loving life. Your family's being taken care of, all because you took a risk and actually jumped right in. And now it's insane. When I was in camp, last time I was at work, some dude, literally full tray of food, I seen him stare at me, and then he walked back and he literally tripped and just about dumped all of his food out in front of, there's what, 300 people in the dining hall. And then he comes up to me after, he's like, man, you're Long Rod from TikTok. You're the guy from TikTok. I'm like, yeah, I am. And you're kind of just like, what do I say here, man? Yeah, no, that's me. I make stupid shit and post it on the internet. Right on, buddy. I'm glad that you're happy and smiling. And that, to me, that means a lot to me, man. And people want to call it, yo, your dopamine high, this and that, whatever. You go and make videos then. I'll laugh at you too. But until then, shut the fuck up. Leave a guy alone. I am who I am, and you're not going to change who I am. So you were a big inspiration when you said, bring on the hate, bring it on. If you want to start chirping and beaking me, I've got it covered, buddy. Hey, good luck, because it's you'll be better buckle up for the long haul, because I can go for days, buddy.
I have foremen, consultants, my wife, and children that say worse things to me than you could ever say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you look stupid posting that video. Oh, get to work. Yeah, cool, man. You don't think a foreman has told me that? You don't think a fucking consultant has looked at me and called me like a fucking ass clown? Or you know, but then looked at my video, laughed at it, and said, that's fucking funny. Now get the fuck back to work.
Absolutely, you know? Like, man. And like, this is the thing. When I make videos, I literally, there's no rehearsal. There's that, like, people are like, oh man, you write all your shit down. Like, there's times I jot a couple things down here and there, but for the most part, it's off the top of my head and I'm just rattling shit off, man. And I'm not sitting here spending days and days writing scripts and everything. And you know what? If you want to ridicule me for having a dopamine high, sure, have at her, man. But that's not what I'm doing it for. And we're going to make something of this. And it's, like we keep saying here, the opportunities are endless, and we're just going to keep riding it out here. And I've got a lot of support from a lot of different people too, and that's what means the world to me.
I'm working with Carl's Jr. right now, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're making videos. They pay a decent amount considering it's only three videos, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like how much they're paying, and then they could get the actual professional come in and do it. They hire out a third party company to reach out to me and give me the details, and then I submit to them and whatnot. And where I knew that I was going right, how I knew what I was doing right was, they gave me the parameters of what they wanted, right? And they, man, I'm the kind of guy, phone goes up and the video just goes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't have any idea what I'm doing until I'm there. That they want me to, like, come up with a script weeks ahead of time. They want me to come up with the captions. They want me to come up with the ideas. And then they go over it with a fine-tooth comb and they're like, hey, can you tweak this, tweak that, do this, right? And that's a third-party company. Now, I sent the third party company my video. They're like, that's great. Just tweak it like this. Then they sent it to Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr. spit it back at them, tell them, we don't want that. We don't want it to be an ad. We want that to be Dick. That's not Dick. We want humor. We want Dick's authenticity. That is not Dick. That's being sold to us as an ad. And that came back to me yesterday. And I'm like, fuck, man, I love that. I love that. When you're telling me, you're giving me free reign to be myself in a video, man, let's fucking go. I am so pumped, man.
And that's how you're going to reach people. Yeah. Like, honestly, people, I can sniff out a fake phony guy in a heartbeat, man. It's pretty easy. And if guys are just doing it, you know, you're selling out to people, like selling out for ads and everything like that. Like, you see some of these, like, look at that Hawk Tua chick. Like, now
she's
selling out so hard, man. She ripped off, she rug pulled everybody on that crypto scam. She's so irrelevant. And look at that, like, that right there. I'm not going to say I'm jealous, but like, what in the Christ is going on in society when a girl's jealous? Like you can come up and spit out something just so stupid. Yeah, spit out, eh? Like, you can say something so dumb like that, and next thing you know, she's a millionaire. Like,
I've talked about how jealous I am of that because I've worked so fucking hard on this app and on the socials for 5 years now. I've worked so hard, and like, I've made not even a fraction of what she's made in just a year or two. You know what I mean? Just because she's like, Hawk Tua, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, he spit on that thing. Yeah, that it was funny. But, like, you know, that's all she had to offer, you know?
That's it. And, like, nothing else came out of her. She would sit. No. Now she's got her own podcast, and all she does is sit there and just burn dope and talk about absolutely mindless bullshit. Like, and that, to me, it doesn't reach a lot of people. Like, that, to me, doesn't get – I just find it to be fake. And I just want to be able to be myself and say the things that I say. And I also don't need people coming up to you and acting like that's the type of person you are. And – and another thing, like I had a guy actually the same thing at work. Hey man, can you say one of your videos to me? And he was trying to record me, and I'm like, man, no. If you want to show people the video, show them the video. I'm not some puppet sitting here. You're gonna pull strings, and my arms are gonna go flailing around. Like, no, that's not how this is gonna work, man. But it is nice that people recognize you and stuff. And like I said, I got a small following right now. I'm hoping that a little bit of exposure. Really, really thinking about getting into the comedy thing too. Like, I don't know, just being able to have a rapport with your audience and stuff like that, and actually be a personable guy. Some of these people, it gets to their head so quick. Like, you know, even if they would have the small amount of followers that I got, they'd figure they're God. And like, you don't want to talk to people.
I've seen it. 5 years on this app, man. I've seen that. People that I've personally collaborated with, worked with, been friends with, are like that. They get this God complex, and then they're just like, well, you know, like, I'm king shit or queen shit. And then they fucking become douchebags. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much, dude. And like, dude, honestly, I had my heart broken off of one time, you know, my heart literally fucking shattered on the floor, you know? And like, it took me a little while to pick the pieces of that back up. But what came of that? This fucking podcast came out of it. Right.
Absolutely.
And like, dude, I rose from the ashes of that bullshit, and I fucking started this. And man, we're 140 episodes deep now. We're 140 weeks in.
Nice. That's deadly, man. And you see, you just keep rocking and rolling. Let the hate inspire you, and let let it both ways. Let it just inspire and keep going, man. Because you got a good thing going. We're gonna have. I'm sure this won't be the last time that we speak either.
Fuck no, man, dude. I want to have so many people on the podcast, dude. I've had people come on the podcast 2-3 times now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at the beginning, the first little while, I didn't want any repeat guests, right? I didn't. Let someone new, fresh voices all the time. Now it's like, man, I want that guy back on, you know? Like, that 100%. Fucking guy's awesome. Grayson Magaha, perfect example of what he did. North Carolina guy, blue collar to his fucking core, had a stand-up comedy dream.
Yeah.
The internet changed that guy's life. He makes enough money, he doesn't have to work anymore. And right now he's out on tour.
And that's exactly what I want to do, man. And I want to get some, like, networking's a big thing. I'm a very social, personable guy. You know, anybody wants to reach out and have a chat, I'm more than willing to talk to anybody and see where this goes and get the ball rolling. And you know what? Even if it starts small. Like, I've seen, you know, there's a guy that came to my town where I'm living on the coast, and he did a small comedy tour a couple of years ago that I went and watched. And now he's big. He's pulling in, you know, he's doing big shows, like 5-10,000 people he's performing for.
Do you know who's like that? You know that Cameron Whitcomb guy that, like, he's all over TikTok, all over. He sings those songs about, you know, being in addiction and drunk.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He's from British Columbia. He's from BC, man. Yeah. He's blue collar as fuck. We follow each other before that guy hit it big. I think he was in his first like 30,000 followers. We started following each other. He was supposed to come on the podcast, blew the fuck up overnight. That guy's got a few million followers now, selling out fucking stadiums across North America.
He is, man. Yep.
dude, I'm proud of it. Dude, I'm proud of that guy. You know, like, we never talk anymore. He probably won't come on the podcast, but that doesn't mean I don't love the guy anymore. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, fucking did an incredible thing, dude. Amazing, amazing person. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just like, I got on him too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I should have got on him when he had 1,000 followers.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. No,
millions. Right. And now, but it's like,
look at how happy you are for him though. Like, look at how happy, this is the type of person you are. This is the type of people that we need to be doing this stuff. Fuck the jealousy, man. Everybody can have a piece of the cake. If everybody just, you know, go in and do your thing, and everybody can have their own piece of the pie, man. And like, be happy for one another. The hate and everything like that, because, you know, this guy's doing that, this guy's doing this. Who gives a shit, man? Be yourself, be authentic, be unique, do your thing, and people will come. And honestly,
what's
I believe
good
in that.
One whole... is good for all, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's a blue collar guy. You know what I mean? That's like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
He took his shot, and now he's fucking living the dream. You know,
100%. Yeah, no, dude. And like I said, I've been a goofball class clown my whole life, and you know what? Yep. I'm ready to use that to my advantage and get out there, man, and see what happens. Like, and my wife's all on board. She's the one that's actually pushing me. My wife is an unbelievable woman. She's just so strong with everything she does, and she's the one that's pushing me to keep going with this. Like, to
my
see
wife
that
sends
there
me
is
ideas and tells me how to use them. This, have this in the background, say this, make this kind of, you know, my wife helps me out with that, man. And I think
it's
that's
great.
Just amazing. Yeah.
Support is definitely a thing you need in this industry. And then in this business with social media, you need to have a few people pushing you and getting you to where you want to go, man. And, it's going to go somewhere. We're going to do this, buddy. And I'm glad to be on here and chatting with you. It's really good.
My wife and my kids, I know my kids do, how young they are, but like my wife for sure. And my kids have brought it up a little bit, but like, they see how happy this makes me, right? This is
definitely
dad worked over 100 hours a week and sacrificed all his time away from us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What was he, a shell of a human being? Well, no, dad sacrificed his life so we can have a good one. He worked over 100 hours a week, and in his spare time, he did what he liked to do. He did what he enjoyed.
Absolutely.
He had a podcast where he talked to other like-minded people. He made himself laugh. That's how the content started. I needed to laugh. I didn't see anything that made me laugh. And then, you know, having these connections. My wife knows, and she helps me out with my content. My wife knows how much I needed this, right?
Yeah.
How much I needed to smile. How much I needed to laugh. I've had a really rough year, you know, mental health-wise. And she helped pull me out of the depths of that hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you know.
Lost him. He's gone into the fucking abyss, never to be seen again. Tell you a little joke. What's a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet? R. You might think so, but it's the C. Fucking hilarious, eh? Uh-oh. Well, he's gone. Anyways, my name is Matt.
Hey, bud.
For anybody didn't know, he's there. He is. He's back. I just told a little joke there, to introduce myself. My name's Matt. So, and I just wanted to let everybody know too, that if you, you know, if you see me in public or see me around and stuff like that, it's a lot more weird and awkward when you stare at me like a weirdo. Come up and say hi, man. Like, I'm just a normal everyday dude. Like, come on, just stop staring like a weirdo at work or wherever you are. I've seen people at the airport. I met a couple people. And like I said, I got a very small following. So that gives me the hope and the drive to actually keep going, because you're already being noticed by people, and people are telling you, man, you make my day and everything. Like, that's what it's all about. So I'm just letting you know, if you see me, don't act like a fucking weirdo. Come up and say hi, man. Let's have a chat. You know, like, I'm no different than anybody else.
So what just happened there is it's 36 degrees here in Medicine Hat. I'm in the back of the crew truck. I'm sweating buckets.
I can tell you're you know, don't WebMD yourself, man. You might end up down at the ER there. So
what happened was I was hotspotting off my phone. My phone is doing this. Oh, not that. That's back now. But my phone was
too hot.
It put down on me. I'm in the back seat. The AC is going, but it's 36 degrees outside. And I didn't have the AC all the way up.
Can you explain to me? So I was looking. One day last shift there, we were at work, and the UV index, like the air index, was 20. So it was the worst in the world in Fort McMurray, in Fort McKay, where I work. Can you explain to me why there's no forest fires in Quebec? We were looking on the map there of forest fires. You know, there's tons all over the place, but Quebec, not a single fire. I found that to be quite, it's heavily, it's a dense, densely forested area, but not a single fire.
The Laurentian elites have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too deep into the old, I'm not a conspiracy guy by any means, but I just found that odd. I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, we're sitting here huffing in smoke. It's like you're firing off a carton of darts an hour here, breathing in this air. And you look over at other parts of the country that aren't on fire. You're like, yeah, it makes you wonder what the hell's going on here. And this year specifically, like the weather, the last few days been, you know, mid 30s all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they're not to knock on wood, the fires have kind of been, there's not too many of them. And you'd think that with heat like that, all of a sudden it would just be roaring, burning, spontaneous combustion. But yeah, no, there's, I don't know. I just find it odd. The world's a crazy place, man. Like I said earlier, me and you, with the age we're at, prime of our lives, you know.
The thickness of our load has never been thicker than it is right now.
With the mud, man, never been thicker. But yeah, no, we've lived through a lot of stuff, man, and it's crazy. You know, that was one thing I talked about with my grandparents is like, holy shit, man, we've lived, you know, COVID, Y2K, all these things. I remember back during Y2K when I was in grade 6 and it happened and the whole world was supposed to blow up and all the computers were going to crash and all this shit. Nothing happened, but, you know, we've lived through quite a bit of crazy stuff, man. It's buckle up because it's only going to get crazier, I think. She's fucking, God. She's toast.
You can hear me.
She's toast. I can hear you, brother. You're overheating. You're done. You're done. She's a sauna in the back of that truck there, eh? Poor guy.
There we go. I'm back. You back?
I feel for you, man. Here? I feel for you. The heat in the back.
I'm
truck.
Here.
Yeah. There you are.
I'm back. My phone's on. I just put the fucking hotspot back on. I'm good, nice. Man. We're good. Okay.
Beauty. Sounds good, man.
So how did you get into the oil field, man? How long have you been in the oil field for?
So I, like I said, I grew up in Stony Plain. So I moved from Stony to Rocky Mountain House 2008 or 2009. I played junior B hockey for the Stony Flyers there for a little bit. I played junior A in Drayton Valley for the Thunder. Ended up snapping my leg like a toothpick. Got a plate in my ankle from that. The hockey dream kind of fizzled out. I decided I was going to start partying and tear it up in town. So my dad ended up moving me to Rocky Mountain House. My first oil field gig was actually with Vac Trucking Company out of Rocky. And that's when I learned about long hours. We were pulling, you know, 48. You know how it is, man. You're out doing tank cleaning and stuff like that out on rigs. And you're out there sometimes 72 hours and you're just sleeping in the seat.
Fuck.
There's a lot of seat time there sleeping in the seat. So I learned about long hours and the oil field life. You got guys out there that are just tweaking, just, you know, you've seen it. Everybody in the oil field's seen it. So I did the back truck in there for a little bit. Then I ended up, getting back into plumbing. So I was commercial site service plumber for a long time. Then I got into the industrial end of things, up on site there. Now I've been there for about 7 years. And working in the tar sands, man, it's a little different than the patch, like rig work and SAGD and stuff like that. A little bit different than what the tar sands is, but it's all oil, man. We're all brothers at the end of the day. Everybody that's in that, we're all in it together.
Hell yeah, man.
So no, I'm just working for a little construction company there. A buddy of mine owns it. Things are looking pretty good. We got lots of work coming up for the next few, well, probably 2 years.
Famous last words in the oil patch, brother.
Oh, give me another boom.
5 years worth of work here.
Oh, yeah. Well, give me one more boom, buddy. I swear I won't piss it away. I swear.
Yeah.
Look at the size of this schnoz, buddy. I swear it won't go nowhere. But, yeah, no, I definitely enjoy the line of work that I'm in. It's rewarding for myself. I grew up on a farm, so even this morning I helped my father-in-law expose his outlet of his septic tank. Like, I enjoy working. It's a dying breed of people that actually enjoy, get some enthusiasm and get some, a sense of achievement out of actually doing something physically hard. And people just don't want to actually expand on what they're doing. People are too scared to start doing anything. And I'm, you know, 37 years old and I'm willing to do it. You know, I'm jumping into comedy here and at 37 years old, never knew a thing about it, but I'm going to keep going and see what happens with that. But in the meantime, just keep grinding her out in the tar sands and making fucking stupid videos and getting people laughing. And that's all a guy can do.
You ever follow Girth Brooks on TikTok?
He has commented on two of my videos.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast. Yeah.
Has he? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, good no, guy. There's some good people to meet on there, man, for sure. There's definitely some good connections. And to me, it's all about networking, and you know that.
So that's actually how I met him. I was at the, you know, the fucking, what's that hotel in fucking Drayton Valley there that, you know, the you stay there in the bar, at the everything in the bar at the it is free, the food and shit.
I'm not sure. I know the old hole in Drayton Valley was the bar, and it was just an absolute shit tank.
So the Sky Lounge attached to the hotel. And so I'm sitting there in the Sky Lounge one night eating dinner, and buddy with this long, greasy fucking hair built like a brick shit house, he comes from across the room, he sits down next to me, he orders something to drink, something to eat. And I'm like, how's it going, man? He's like, pretty good. You? I'm like, pretty good, pretty good. He's like, I'm actually starting to make content myself, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, we didn't even say anything about content. It just got brought up. I'm like, okay, cool, man. And I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, cool, good for you. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, Uncle Hack's playing right now tonight at the Moon, and I'm heading over there to play too, right? We're good to go and tell some jokes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right on. Good for you, brother. And then I kept seeing this guy around the hotel, right? I saw him at breakfast, and we talk a little bit. And then one day, one of his videos pop up, and I'm like, fuck, I recognize that guy, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, that's the guy from the hotel in Drayton. And I saw him.
Right, man.
Fucking funny videos, right? And, you know, we get to talking. He's been on the podcast. He sent me a big thing of stickers because he works for PD now, and he made some stickers for DP, Double Penetration.
Yes, sir.
And, I fucking love that guy, man. Girth Brooks, he's a stand-up comedian too, working in the patch, man. He's fucking, he's an old roughneck.
Absolutely, man. And it relates to a lot of people. That's the thing. Like, you can go watch a stand-up comedian who's a white-collar goofball from Toronto that he has no, you got to ponder, you got to excite your audience, man. Like, some of these people that are doing comedy are just absolute bag lickers, and they're terrible at it. And, you know, people are paying money to go and watch you. Nobody wants to hear about your political views when you're doing stand-up comedy. Nobody, and like, sure, you can roast a few people here and there, but I've went to comedy shows where guys are just cutting up people in the audience, and that's their whole skick. Is just, that's it, man. You got to diversify. You got to know what you're doing. And I think, you know, having the imagination that some people do and learning from others, like you say with Girth Brooks, like you look at and guys like yourself, you kind of use that, piece things together and use it to your advantage. Don't sit there and be jealous of people and, you know, that's stupid, this, that. Well, if it's stupid, how the hell does it have a million views? Okay, so it's stupid. Well, how the fuck does it have a million views? So I guess there's a million dummies out there. But you know what I mean? Like, just use, you got to just keep, it's almost like studying in school, man. Just watch stuff, learn and risk, you know, see what you can get, push the limits, see what you can do and just go from there. And that's all I'm planning on doing. And I'm hoping that, you know, even being on this podcast, even if I get, you know, 5-10 new followers, that's still better than nothing. You know what I mean? I don't care about, I'm not one of these guys that's just out here looking for millions and millions and millions and millions. Sure, I would love to monetize and make myself some money, but at the end of the day, wealth to me is a lot different than wealth to other people, man. I would love, if I could help one person, even with my story about opiates, make somebody laugh that's having a rough day, because there's some days, man, where men are in dark places, nobody gives a shit, and sometimes all it takes is one little joke, one little video, two words to a person can totally think, it can take them off a bridge, man, honestly, and I say that because I've been there, and all it takes is just one compliment. All it takes is one conversation to get somebody into a better place. And that's all I want to do that as a person and use my platform to actually get out to people, man, and realize that you're not alone and there is help and there is ways. And comedy is one of the best ways to get yourself out of that hole.
It's like that, going back to that story about Jeremy Littell. He said on the podcast, and he's talked about it a couple times, someone came up to him and said, he was going to watch 5 videos today. And at the end of that 5 videos, he was going to end it all. He was just going to, right? On that 5th video, he came across one of Jeremy's videos, and it was fucking gut-wrenching, just hilarious.
Yeah.
Right? And he decided to live. And he ran into Jeremy, and Jeremy told that story, and Jeremy was pretty emotional about it.
Oh, right? For like, sure, man.
Dude, that was...
That's crazy. And you know what, man? And that's how I want to be. I want to be able to feel good about what I'm doing and helping people, man. There's nobody, everybody in this world wants to be better than the Joneses than next door. And everybody cares about themselves too much and their image. That's the
biggest thing. I just want to be better than the guy I was yesterday, man.
Absolutely, man. And that's right then and there. That's exactly it. Inspire people. That's the biggest thing. Make people better. Try and pump people up instead of ripping them down. And I think that was how our fathers were raised, was be, you know, tough on people, tough on our spouses, tough on everybody. You sure, like, you can be tough on people, but do it in a productive way, man.
Like
you build them up before you tear them down. Don't just every, and like I said, this one thing that has always stuck with me that probably everybody listening here has heard, everyone will remember, you can do 100 things good, you do one thing bad, they don't give a flying fuck about the 100 other things. You could have saved the world from total detonation, but you, that one thing they will remember you by.
It's like that one. Yeah. It's like that saying, you know, you build 100 houses, you're a house builder. You build 100 houses and you're not a house builder. You suck one cock and you're a cocksucker, right?
Fucking right, man. That's exactly right. You betcha. It's crazy, man. This is the thing, is that people, I'm a normal everyday guy. You're a normal everyday guy. If you're looking to get into this kind of stuff, man, with the social media, just take the risk and start. You never know where it's going to go.
The hardest part is doing it. Just
absolutely.
Start.
And I started with the Snapchat stuff, and everybody's been telling me for years, your shit's hilarious. Get out there, do something with it. And you know what? My wife was one of the biggest inspirations for me to pump out and get out of my shell and get uncomfortable. That's how you grow as a person. You get uncomfortable, man. Stop being a pussy and get out there and actually get uncomfortable and start doing things. And you can see the world has a lot to offer if you actually get out there and do it, man.
Fucking right it does.
Yeah. So you know what? And that's what I mean. You got to, I want to be able to inspire and pump people up and let them know that they're not, that everybody's unique in their own way, and keep going. That's the biggest thing. So
fuck yeah, man. Brother, I don't want to keep you too much longer, and I got another podcast to record in less than an hour here.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to pump them out. I'm trying to pump them up before I go north, man. You know, I'm just on that fucking grind.
Absolutely.
I don't want to keep you too much longer, man, but I fucking appreciate the hell out of you coming on, man.
Thanks. And I appreciate it too. This has been very good. I love it, man. And I'm sure we'll see each other. We'll be crossing paths again very soon, buddy. And I really appreciate, getting me on here, get a little exposure. And hopefully this is a friendship and a relationship here with you that lasts a long time, buddy.
Fucking right. I got one more question though, man.
Yes, sir.
I end the podcast the same way every time.
Yeah.
And the question, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people potentially in the world up on that rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, you know, four people you look up to, inspire to be there, that inspired you, who would they be and why?
Oh, that's a tough question there, Deck. Holy Moses.
You of your load, and then we talked about how you're exposing yourself.
Yes. Yes, fuck sir.
That's a good
question, man. Yeah, you know what? I would probably start. You got to start with a guy like Terry Fox as a Canadian boy. A guy like that. I grew up. My aunt actually.
Have a leg to stand on, brother.
No. My aunt, when I was young, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She fought and battled. She beat it. And I used to run Terry Fox Run, and that's one of the guys. Always has been an inspiration to me. And it should be to every other good-hearted, down-home Canadian guy. If you don't think Terry Fox is an icon and an idol, well, then fucking beat it. Because that's how I feel. Who else would I have on there? You know, I'd have to have my grandfather. The guy showed me work ethic and how to work and how to be a man and how to, you know, you got to treat your family good and keep everybody in line in a sense. And he's another one. Who else would I have on there, man? That's a tough question. I don't want to say, well, even, you know what, this is, you know what, my cousin Brett, as a hockey player, I got to give him credit, man. That guy dug himself out of the East Coast League. He battled in the American League. You know, the guy, he was handed a tough deck, and he just kept it going, man. And now he's played almost 300 plus games in a row. I got to throw him up there because he's a big inspiration to me, and he's always kept me in the loop, and we're in contact quite a bit. He's a great guy, great family guy. I look up to him, man, and he's one of the guys that's overcame a lot of obstacles. and he's made it and made something of himself. And I couldn't be more proud of the guy and the man and the husband and the father that he's become. So he'll be number three.
We gotta get Brett on the podcast. We gotta get Brett on the podcast. You gotta come back. You'll do it. You'll do another one. We'll tag team Brett.
We'll see. I'll reach out to him, see what he's got to say. I know he's ramping up training here because I'm fired up. But you know, summer months are pretty boring here without hockey. But I'll reach out to him, see what he's got to say, man. He's a pretty down to earth. He's a pretty soft hearted, down to earth guy. So we'll see what he says. I'll try my best and see what happens. And I'd have to say, the fourth person that I look up to. Man, this is tough. This is really tough. I'm not gonna say. Put me on the spot here. You know what? I've got to say, this is corny too, man. But my wife is honestly another person that's on there. I got to say it because she's also went through a lot of stuff. She's overcame a lot of shit, and she is an unbelievable mother and wife and partner. And like I said 100 times on here, she's inspired me to do this, pushed me to my limits. She's got to be on there. I know that's three family members and Terry Fox, but I'm sure if I actually sat down and think, I could probably think of a couple more, but those there are my four. Those are the people that you look up to, and if you're ever having a tough day, you just think of some of the stuff that they've had to go through and overcome. And, and you just battle through, man. Like I've went through so, you know what, like we won't get to it on this episode here, but I've went through so much stuff, and you always realize that no matter how rock bottom sometimes has a basement, and I've been in that basement, and you can always work yourself out with a little hard work, determination and support. You can get the hell out of it, man. So are going to be my four for now, brother. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on here, man. It means a lot to me.
Fuck yeah, man. My rock bottom had a basement too, man. You know, you discover a lot about yourself while you're down there, you know, like
you do.
I found at the bottom of that hole was I found a mirror, and I looked at that mirror and I didn't like the person staring back. Right.
Yep.
And like, fucking, that was a scary time, man. That was,
you made a change. Now look at you. Hey, look at you now. You made a change, and now you're rocking and rolling, and you're making other people's lives better, which is something commendable. And I appreciate and respect that till no end, man. I love it.
And I
love
what you're doing.
Love it, brother. Okay, buddy. Well, I'm going to get back to fucking breaking my legs and snapping my arms, water skiing here. My father-in-law likes to pull me around and rip me into pieces. So we'll see how that goes. I might get back in the water here and give her another whirl.
Give her, bud.
Hey, man, it was nice to have a chat with you there, and we'll chat with you soon.
Hey, Long Rod, stay frosty, brother.
10-4, buddy, you betcha.
10-4, big dog. I got to play that fucking intro outro music again. It disappeared on me.
For Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake, bud.
There we go.